We greet each one of you in Jesus' precious name tonight. It's good to be here. It's been a blessing to be part of your worship service so far. Thank you for those songs. And also for the short meditation. What our brothers didn't realize that they have laid a very good foundation for what the message is tonight. And you know, as speakers, as brethren that get up to share, or especially ministry that stands before the congregation with burdens on their hearts at times, sometimes the inspirations that come to us, it seems pretty elementary. And, you know, we sometimes grapple with that in our own closet and at our desk, that the things we have to share is pretty basic. And, you know, as we seek the face of God and to make sure that the simple message is what He wants us to share, you know, it can be a bit of a test sometimes. And tonight, as I considered what was on my heart, and thinking about what to share, I found myself in that place. My thoughts were in a fairly simplistic way with the message that I have to, that's laying on my heart. And as I thought of that, I realized that this message is a burden in my own heart. And you know, it goes with me as a burden for people around me, for my people that I walk with, and occasionally for myself. And let me explain. You know, many times we typically see other people's issues, other people's problems a lot clearer than we see our own, right? And we sometimes are fairly quick to see a solution for our struggling brother or sister. And we can definitely see some things that they should do that would actually help them out. And yet so many times we miss seeing, relating it to ourselves, you know. I sometimes take a little mirror with me as I share messages. And I'd like to prop it up on the podium sometimes because it's typically most messages that brethren share, I know for myself for sure, most of them comes out of the need of their own heart. But that's how God works. And God is merciful. And God is loving. And God does care to and delights to continue to refine and prune His children. So that has been very real to me again. So trust tonight that you can be encouraged and strengthened wherever you are at in your journey. The title for the message tonight is Being Connected to the Source. Being connected to the source. In Brother John's prayer, he mentioned a little tidbit from the message this morning. I'm kind of curious what your message was this morning. But we know the Lord directs and guides as He desires. So tonight I'd like to look a little bit at some connections, considering our connections to God as a child of God, and also some ways to maintain that and to strengthen that connection. At home, we have a small woodlot, not very big compared to some of you around here, but we tap our trees, mostly out of hobby. And you know, when you walk into the bush in the spring with the warm sunshine coming into that cold bush, and you sense the signs of spring coming out of the bush. You just feel the melting snow. You feel that just that life is coming back to this frozen bush again. You talk about an inspirational piece of God's creation. And you know, as you see the sap drip out of the tree, you know, it just speaks all of life. It's just life flowing from these these trees that were just frozen dead not that long ago. You know, sap is the lifeblood of a tree. And you know, some of you can explain this better than myself, but you know, we know the water is drawn up from the roots up to the through the roots up the trunk and out to the branches. And as the temperature gets colder and it gets frozen, you know, that sap goes back down into the roots. But you know, as that warm weather in the spring, it warms things up. That sap moves from the roots up the trunk, out the limbs, to the branches, to the little twigs. And it produces those buds. What I want us to think about is that the root system is the main source of water for that tree. You know, the sap moves up the tree trunk and out to the branches. From the branches to the limbs, to the lower branches, to the sprouts. All connected, all back to the root. And there's a connection from that little bud on the smallest little branch back to the root. There's a connection. There's a pathway. Pathway for life to flow from the root to that little bud. The source of life for that tree. Being connected to the source. I'd like to turn to John chapter 15 tonight for our beginning verses. We don't plan to spend much time in this chapter, and you're familiar with this chapter, but I'd like to read it for our inspiration and for a foundation for us tonight. In the song we sang and the meditation that Brother John led us in, you could feel the heart of God, the resources of God. You can sense the life, the source that God is. And now we want to look at a bit more further out from that. John chapter 15, I'd like to read 1 to 17. If you care to, you can stand while we read this portion. If you can stand while we read John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go, and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You can be seated. A foundational chapter that we want to keep in our minds as we go through here tonight. The theme verses here. Verse 1, You know, abiding in Christ, just as the branches need to stay connected to the vine. Talking about you and I, abiding in Christ. You know, Christ is that vine. In verse 1, looking down to verse 4, you know, the call is to abide in me, abide in God, abide in Christ. You know, you can't bear fruit on your own. You will be connected to some source. But God calls his people, all people, to come and be connected. Abide in him. Verse 5. Without Christ, ye can do nothing, says in the last part of the verse. Without Christ, ye can do nothing. And then verse 7 and 8. The promise, if you abide in me, ye shall bear much fruit. These are the principles of God. There's reasons to abide in Christ. Very good example. As we think of the branches connecting to the tree, to the trunk, to the roots. All connected, providing an avenue for that source of life to flow. Let's look to Matthew chapter 5. Looking at another aspect of connection. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14 to 16. Matthew 5, 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Ephesians 5:8 says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, being connected to the source. I brought a little parcel with me tonight. All of you kind of recognize what this would be. It's a light fixture. It's a little lamp that's seen a lot of use and abuse and love. But it still works. To some people it may look okay and nice, but you know it's got a holder, it's got the light socket, it's got the light, it's got a cord, and it's got a switch. Looks okay. You know, everything is complete here. And yet, very simply speaking, you typically, according to the operator's manual, you flip the switch and it's supposed to be light. But tonight, as we do that, there is nothing here. So whether you're something is wrong. What is wrong? Thank you. You're right. It's not plugged in. I've seen a core receptacle down here. Flip the switch and we have power. You know, it's very simple. We just had to plug that in. We plug in the light, and we have current flowing through that cord, creating a bright light for us. We have tapped into a power source. Before we had it plugged in there, we had all the components, all the physical components of the light that we needed. But the bulb could not produce light on its own without being plugged in. Now, being plugged in, we have light if we flip the switch. If you switch that to spiritual, you think that in your own spiritual experience, your own spiritual lives, you know, how many of us many times have everything in place? We have all the components, but we have no light. We have the form. We have the bulb. We may even seem to be performing okay on the outside, but still there's just no light there. There's no connection to a power source. And if you're like me, you've been there. We know all before we tapped into the true power source, we were dead in our sins. We don't know how reality is, how life is. At times when our light may have been shining brightly at one point, and for some reasons, whatever they may be, it goes out. And this can affect anyone from young to old. Not sure if Brother John still experiences this or not at his age, but I still do. It takes work to keep my light plugged in. Are we plugged in tonight? Or has my cord become disconnected? Has it fallen out of the power source, out of the plug, out of the receptacle? Sometimes, if for some reason our light becomes unplugged, and we don't have time to go into all the different aspects of that, but I know you can follow me because you know what's all in the Christian life and the journey and the struggle and the battle of life. But you know, if we continue on in the hardness of our hearts, when that light is out, we eventually become callous to the understanding, the realization that we are unplugged, and we can be just going through life in that rut, being unplugged. But tonight, am I plugged into the source? The real power source of life for my Christian experience. Are you plugged in? Let's continue to look a little bit at what is the source and how we're connected. Proverbs 18, verse 28 says, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Thou, God, will light my candle. You know, God is a true source. And you know, we need the power of God. And tonight I go back to maybe referring to that as an elementary truth. Even the youngest one here understands many of those things. And we've all been blessed with, I don't know all your experiences, but the majority of us have had years of good teaching and understanding. These things aren't new to us. And yet, it seems that doesn't necessarily help us to keep our lamps, our lights plugged in. How do we get plugged in? It's back to some basics again. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As a child of God, you understand those things. I trust you're rejoicing in your heart tonight. It's repentance. You know, sin has disconnected us from God, from the power source, from our Heavenly Father. It's separated us, the true source. But tonight, through repentance, by acknowledging our sin, repenting of our sin, confessing it to God, claiming his promises, claiming in the power of the blood of Christ, you know, that connection to our Heavenly Father is reestablished. You know that we are then plugged in. We are then plugged in or attached to the vine. And the flow of life can continue to flow through our lives, producing what? Producing light, producing fruit. That's another whole subject, is fruit bearing. But in the Christian life, you can't attach the fruit that you want just by attaching the fruit to the branches. No, it works the other way around. The life has to come from within and the fruit comes out. If you want to change the fruit that's on your branches, you got to start at the source. And you know, some of our fruit is kind of wormy sometimes. Some of our fruit kind of is a little bit knobby, doesn't look too great. What do you have to do? Work at the source. Are you connected? Are you completely plugged in? Tonight, can we lose connection? Can we lose connection? The blessing of having our sins forgiven and being a child of God is just a beautiful, wonderful thing. And if we can all remember that initial experience, the lightness of your heart and just the connection to God. It's so pure, so connected. But you know, it doesn't take long, and that connection just seems can get a little frayed. And you know, we work with ourselves again. 2 Peter 2:20-21 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them if they had not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." And God forbid that's our experiences. But you know, we can become entangled again if we lose connection. We will become entangled again. 2 Peter 3:17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, therefore beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Steadfastness. Tonight, just to underline, we can lose connection. Don't ever think you can't. Keep in your mind that you, by human nature, we will lose connection. We need God. We need that power source flowing through us to maintain that strong connection. Tonight, if you're either a mechanic or electrician, you know, you understand the challenges of corrosion with electrical connectors. And you know, as those connectors get loose, they get hot and they get burnt. And it doesn't stop there. It just keeps getting worse and worse until you lose connection. You're causing a complete disconnect. And you know, tonight, we as Christian people, the children of God, we have an enemy that is focusing on disconnection. He's focusing on disconnecting you from the true power source, God Himself. And yes, sometimes He comes there with a big bolt clipper to cut it in half and disconnect immediately. But not always, and not normally. He would desire that. But typically, His tactics are very slow. You know, that connection becomes loose. It becomes hot. It starts to get burnt. It starts to corrode. And in that, we slowly lose connection to the true power source, God Himself. You know, as we slowly yield to temptations, one after another, as we slowly believe the lies that the evil one injects into our thoughts and minds, you know, we slowly become disconnected from God. Our connection is becoming deteriorated. It's being eroded. Our connection is becoming frayed. It's becoming loose. And eventually the plug just falls right out. And tonight, I want to remind each one of us, myself first, you know, no one is exempt from that. And I'm challenged when I talk to elderly brethren, you know, 70s or 80s. The battle's not over, they tell me. Sin will always disconnect us from God. But tonight I want to inject a tremendous positive. Being connected to God and staying connected to God, the evil one has no power or chance to disconnect us. He's got no hope to destroy us. He can't. And we could read verses about the blood of Christ, the protection of the blood of Christ, and the power that is available through the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is available for each one of you. Young to old, for myself, we need it daily. It's the only way to keep a pure, solid connection that the evil one cannot destroy. I know my experience is similar to yours. I'm sure it is. You know, it takes a daily struggle. It takes a daily battle. If we allow the evil one to come into our hearts and disconnect us from God, he will have switched that power source. We will be plugged into him. It's not like you just become unplugged and you're neutral. He will become the source in our lives. Beware. How do we maintain and strengthen good connections tonight? There's many ways. But you know, first of all, we need to be connected. And that's an obvious one, and we've kind of been talking about that already. But so many times we try to perform on our own strength and our own power. Or maybe we don't, we're at least tempted to. So be convinced in your mind that you can't. You need God. You need to be connected. We could read Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. We'll just leave that for now. But, you know, putting on the armor of God. You know, loins girt with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, a shield of faith, helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. You know, praying without ceasing. Putting on. What's another way to maintain and strengthen a good connection? You know, meaningful devotional life. You know, we need that connection to God. First of all, we need to be connected, but we need to have that flow, that two-way street. God speaking to our hearts, us speaking to Him. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58. I'd like to read that verse, those verses. Isaiah 58, verse 8 to 12. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy thy afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Talk about rebuilding. Talk about new life. Talk about growth. Connecting with God. You know, which goes on to the next one, which is a real prayer life. I've often said that if you want to learn how to pray really good, just be a mechanic for a while. You know, many times some of our crises, the things that we face, you know, make us to call out to God, like, where did that little part go that I can't get? Or on and on. You have many experiences in life. But do we go to God for the smallest things of life? God sees it. Do I understand that God does see the whole picture, first of all? And if I understand who God really is and how He looks at things, you know, our lives as Christians should just be a praying life. You know, we should be praying as we go, praying as we drive. There's communication that we should have as Christians. And God delights in that. There's times that I run into mechanical things that it's something I haven't really worked with before. That's just a completely different problem I've never seen. It's just completely frustrating. There's nothing wrong with praying about it. The problem doesn't always get fixed immediately. But, you know, it keeps our connections to God, and God delights in that. And God rewards His children abundantly in that. Jeremiah 33:3 says, Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Does that mean that He'll always fix my problem when I call on Him? No, but He will, that connection, we can see things more in God's perspective. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, and it should be. But I find that as a need in my life. Matthew 6:6 says, But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, God loves to bless His children. And many times we have that switched around, and we see God in a different picture. We see Him as one with a big stick. No, God delights to bless His children. We don't think the way God thinks, but God delights to take care of his children. Another point, to strengthen, maintain good connections is church life and brotherhood. And that's a whole message in its own. And I trust that without saying much, you know what I mean. You know, we need each other. We need our brethren and sisters. Hebrews chapter 10 has instructions on that, but it says there, the one verse, two verses, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So I'm not sure how you view church life. But you know, God is so much for his children in brotherhood and church life. So much. I love to think of church life as an umbrella. And you know, as we unite together, I mean, we connected to the source, we need to be connected to God himself. We unite together with our brethren and sisters, and I'm talking local body. You know, we draw together, we encourage each other. We're there to receive blessings, we give blessings. That's just how church life is. You know, we end up finding protection in brotherhood. There's a strength that we bring to each other. But church life means accountability. It means being genuine. It means being honest. It means being open, transparent. You know, many of us, that goes a little hard. And yet, the blessings are abundant as we give ourselves to brotherhood. Just like the umbrella experience, you know, many of you know what I'm talking about, but you know, as we go our own way, we sometimes pull ourselves out from under that umbrella, and what happens? We get wet. There's many friends, unfortunately, in my life, in my youth, that have kind of gone their own way, and you know, I'm not 50 yet, but I'm coming closer. And it's difficult to look back to my youth life and understand how many of my friends have gone in places that they never expected to go. And yeah, it's hard to put words to that. But you know, we've walked with our friends, we kind of know the process of thinking they had back in those days, and see where they're at today. It's not good. Stay plugged in. Stay connected. What are the blessings and the fruit of a good connection? Well, there's so many. But we talked about fruit before. But the blessing of good fruit only comes from a good connection, from the power source being tapped in. What kind of fruit is coming out of our lives tonight? Is it the right kind? Is it a blemished kind? Is there hardly any fruit? What kind of fruit is coming out of our lives? And you know, that's maybe a little bit hard to determine, because many times, as true children of God, you actually don't understand and see the fruit of your own life. But God puts that intuition within us. He speaks to our hearts. We understand if we are connected or not. We have a good idea. Some of the blessings of being connected. You know, we have the power and the strength that comes from that power source to be victorious. And victorious Christian living is just a beautiful thing. I'm not sure what your Sunday school is this morning about, But we looked at Joshua. You know, and God promised to promise the land to him, to them. He promised the land, but they had to go conquer it. He promised that they would be victorious. He said, go get the land. And I was very blessed with that as I thought of it. That, you know, that's the same way in our Christian lives. God gives us land. What are we talking about? God gives us Christian victory. God gives us, there's growth to be had in my life, but I need to go get it. The victory's won. We have the power source. The promises are there. There's so many other blessings and fruit of a good connection. You know, the joy and the peace that we can experience as a child of God. There's contentment. There's a rest. There's a love for the things that God loves. God delights in children, the child of God, that is connected. He desires for his children to be connected, that he can flow his power through his children. He needs us here. He has created us to be here on earth, to be vessels for him. Tonight, my encouragement to each one of you comes as a question and an answer, but are we plugged in tonight? Is our connection secure? Or is my connection becoming frayed? Come to God. If you find yourself, if you find your connection is weak, or if the plug's fallen out, come to God. He delights to have his children connected. May God bless you. Continue serving the Lord. Be faithful. God has a lot of work for each one of us to do. May God bless you.